This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hey, Ram truck lovers, this is Justin Peoples with Wright Automotive. We will beat any other dealer's deal on a new Ram truck. Wright Automotive is your new Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram truck headquarters. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Here's another pick of the week from Wright Automotive. The Ford Focus gets over 44 miles per gallon. The new Ford Fiesta checks in at 48 miles per gallon. For information on these and other new vehicles, go to WrightAutomotive.com. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Upgrade your drive by heading to your local BF Goodrich dealer now through May 7th and buy any set of four new BF Goodrich brand passenger or light truck tires and get a $50 MasterCard prepaid card after mail-in rebate. Taylor Tire and Auto, located on West Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. See redemption forms at participating dealers for complete offer details. Offer expires 5/7/2012. Void where prohibited. The card is issued by Citibank, N.A. pursuant to a license from MasterCard International Incorporated and managed by Citi Prepaid Services. Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue in Litchfield has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level.
And it's coming up on 11 minutes after the hour of 6 on the Chicago Board of Trade. Friday, May wheat closed at 6:15 and 3/4, down 9. July wheat closed at 6:23, down 7. September wheat closed at 6:38 and 3/4, down 6 and a quarter. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 6:12 and a half, down 8 and a half. July corn closed at 6:03, down 9 cents. September corn closed at 5:45. That was down a dime. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 14.46 and 3/4, up 31 cents. July beans closed at 14.49 and a half, up 28 and a half. August beans closed at 14.37 and a half, up 27. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 4.06. That was up 1.41. July meal closed at 4.09.90. Up 145. August meal closed at 404.70, up 141. May soybean oil Friday closed at 55.83, up 66. July oil closed at 56.28, up 69. August oil closed at 56.46, up 68. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 3.22 and a quarter, down a half. July oats closed at 3.24 and a quarter. That was down 1 1/2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Ken McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon, with corn and wheat lower and soybeans sharply higher. Continued projections of South American soybean supplies well below USDA projections sent soybeans sharply higher in the afternoon trading. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 8 to 9 cents lower at 6.06 to 6.21. Soybeans jumped 31 to 33 cents at 14.23 to 14.34. Corn bids in southern Illinois were down 7 to 11 cents at 6.14 to 6.35, while soybeans were up 30 to 35 cents at 14.33 to 14.53. Wheat ended down 4 to 9 cents at $6 to 6.18. St. Louis area elevators and mills reported corn bids 7 to 9 cents lower, ranging from 6.14 to 6.19. Soybeans were 30 to 35 cents higher at 14.36 to 14.48. Wheat closed 8 to 9 cents lower at 6.07 to 6.18. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 7 to 9 cents lower at 6.23 to 6.26. Soybeans were 31 to 36 cents higher at 1449 to 1457. And new crop wheat was down 5 to 7 cents at 604 to 613. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators quoted their corn bids 9 to 10 cents lower at 638 to 640. These elevators jumped their soybean prices 29 to 31 cents with quotations at 1467 to 1468. Wheat closed 9 cents lower at 638 to 639, and Milo was down 8 at 592 to 593. This is Kent McFarland reporting for WSMI.
And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, May hogs closed at 87.50, down 97. June hogs closed at 87.40, down 137. July 87.95, down 137. April cattle Friday closed at 120.55, down 15. June cattle closed at 115.45, down 40. August cattle closed at 118.85, up a dime. April feeder cattle Friday closed at 150.12, down 75. May feeders closed at 151.90, down 17. August feeders closed at 155.32, down 20. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Friday, April 20th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily leader hogs, barrows, and gilts closed $2.16 lower. Carcass-based price range 76 to 81 and a weighted average of 79.23. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 12,500. Illinois Dirks Brown Gilt trade was steady at 53 to 56, and Illinois Dirks Slaughter sows steady, with some weakness noted for lightweight sows. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 43 to 48. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 50. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Boars under 300 pounds, 32 to 40, and over 300 pounds, 15 to 21. Today's estimated receipts, 325. Thursday's actuals, 1,075. And for the week, 3,075. Pork carcass cutout, 78.09, and that is up 63 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs on Friday, 413,000. Saturday, 9,000. Week to date of 2,084,000. And year to date of 34,146,000. Cattle on Friday, 123,000. Saturday, 3,000. Week to date of 598,000. And year to date of 9,691,000. Box beef cutout values were higher on choice and weak on select with light to moderate demand and offerings. Total movement today, 115 fab loads and 31 trim. Choice at 188.01, that is up 93 cents. Select at 184.39, and that is down 32 cents. At the Illinois auctions, which we cover, receipts this week at 2,637 head, which included a special sale. Compared to last week, slaughter steers traded steady to dollar lower. Choice steers ranged from 120 and a quarter to 127. Slaughter heifers traded steady to firm, with choice heifers at 120 to 126 and a half. Choice Holstein steers traded unevenly steady, 109 to 119. Slaughter cows steady to 2 higher, with slaughter bulls mostly steady. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, thus far for Friday, negotiated cash trade was light on light to moderate demand in the Texas Panhandle, with a few live sales at 120 to 121 and a half. Kansas trade was mostly inactive on light demand. Latest established market, Wednesday, live sales at 122. Trade was light to moderate in Nebraska and the Western Corn Belt on Friday. Thursday, Nebraska live sales were at 123 to 124 and a half. And in the Western Corn Belt on Friday, live sales and dress sales traded steady, 124 to 125 live and 198 to 200 dressed. Negotiated sales week to date of 121,950. Illinois direct slaughter cattle traded unevenly steady, 125 on a live basis and no dress sales reported. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service. Returning back to WSMI.
Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.77 unchanged. For May, $15.15 up 11. And for June, $14.65 down 15. April butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday closed at $145.5 unchanged. For May, 141 and a half unchanged. For June, 143 and three quarter, down a quarter. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for April closed at 124 unchanged. For May, 122 and three quarter unchanged, and for June, 121 and three quarter unchanged. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday for butter, 141 and a quarter unchanged. For block cheese, 152 and three quarter, up one and three quarter. And for barrel cheese, 146, that was unchanged. Here are the bids from Hawk Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, 620. For May, 611. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, 612. And for May, 603. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, 1434. And for May, 1437. Wheat delivered to Scottville for April, 598. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, 620, corn at Scottville, 612, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, 1434, and wheat, 598. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color Radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies today. There is a slight chance of a scattered light shower. High temperatures in the low 60s. We will have northwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the low 40s. Tomorrow, Tuesday, partly cloudy and warmer. High temperatures in the upper 60s. And your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy, a chance of showers Wednesday and Friday. Low temperatures in the mid-40s, high temperatures in the low 60s. Right now at the Weather Center, light north winds, the barometric pressure is steady. Mostly clear skies at the Weather Center, 38 degrees. Over the weekend, the Lang family of Coffeen recorded 0.4 of an inch of rain. Once again, 38 degrees at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
One of the only guarantees in life is death. No one likes to think about it, but we need to be prepared for it by strengthening our financial security. With life insurance from Country Financial Representative Greg Holcomb, you can be sure that your family's financial needs are met if something happens to you. And if circumstances are in your favor, your whole life policy can provide an income for you upon retirement. A tangible plan for financial security that can protect you throughout your whole life. From Greg Holcomb, your country representative in Hillsboro.
And part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday, brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank and by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield. First of all, in our farm news today, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau recently talked with a University of Illinois scientist about the recent questions over the use of sow gestation crates, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. University of Illinois animal science professor Dr. Janine Salick-Johnson talked with us today about the issue of sow gestation crates versus group housing. Does research back up the theory that group housing is better for the animal over gestation crates? She says no. But with the hot topic in the news lately that some retail outlets have specified that they won't buy pork that comes from animals bred using gestation crates has her concerned. She talks more about what that could mean to pork producers and ultimately to consumers.
I think all of those aspects are going to be affected. The first is, what system do they go to? I mean, as a scientist and somebody who's worked in this area for quite some time, there is not a system out there that has been optimized that I would feel comfortable saying, yes, this is the system that is going to work for everybody. And so I'm very hesitant a lot of times when people ask that question. I have a lot of research, but we haven't really optimized. We haven't been able to eliminate those negative consequences. Second of all, there's going to be a learning curve. The one answer we don't know is what is the long-term consequences of these changes, of moving a sow from a gestation stall to a group housing system. No one has looked at the long-term consequences of that on the animal itself. And I think there is going to be some economic cost, even if they're forced to move into a system that really isn't improving the well-being of the animal. I've heard some producers say that when they have tried to go to these group housings, you do see the ramifications of not knowing how to manage, the sows not being used to being in that type of environment because they have no previous experience. I mean, sow mortality rate goes up. Longevity is affected, meaning that you don't have the opportunity to keep a sow around very long. There are so many negative consequences so far that we haven't been able to eliminate from some of these alternative systems. So I think there is going to be a cost, and in the end, I think the cost is going to have to come off on the consumer. But my biggest concern is with these retailers making these demands that they're not going to purchase pork from sows that are kept in these in gestation stalls. That, to me, what the only alternative a producer has is to say, fine, then we'll move to group housing. But that really is asking a producer to do something that is really not ethical in their mind. They have to do it because no one else is going to buy their product. And so now you're forcing a producer to do something that they know is not in the best interest of the animal.
University of Illinois' Dr. Janine Salig-Johnson. I'm Rita Frazier reporting here on WSMI.
And right now we'll update the hog markets. We'll join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
Well, it wasn't a real good week for the hog markets. Pork cutout value was down $1.36 from the week before at basically $77.50 per hundredweight of carcass. Despite the lower cutout value, hog prices pretty well steady, with carcass prices right around $80 per hundredweight and the terminal market prices for bears and gelts on a live weight basis in the mid-50s. Futures market also a bit weaker this week than the week before. Hog slaughter for the week looks like it's going to come in a little bit over 2.1 million head of hogs, up 3% or so from a year ago. We got fairly good news on retail prices in pork. For pork in March, it was $3.49 a pound on average, up 13.3 cents from the year earlier, but down a half a cent from February's prices. Weights, bears and gelts last week in Iowa, Minnesota on a live weight basis, 276.4 pounds. That's up 4.2 pounds from the same week a year ago, the 21st consecutive week in which slaughter weights have been above last year. And finally, in the first 2 months of this year, we're doing well on pork exports. January and February exports up 26.5% compared to the first 2 months of 2011.
And with a recap of last week's hog market, that was University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain. The pork industry may be facing a tougher year. Todd Gleason has more on why pig producers can expect profit margins to slide.
South America is to blame, really. That's how the world works, and the less-than-stellar soybean crop from Brazil and Argentina has pushed the price of soybeans and its companion feed products, soybean meal and oil, higher around the globe. It will take its toll on the pork producer's bottom line this year, thanks Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt.
The nation's pork producers are largely holding back on expansion, even though the industry returned to profitability in the spring of 2011. However, higher feed prices in the past few months as a result of the crop damage in South America has increased cost and reduced the profit outlook for 2012.
Hurt says despite indications from the industry that it expects to reduce the number of sows farrowing in coming months, which normally would constrain the supply of pork and push prices higher, the feed cost, up about $100 a ton for soybean meal and 60 cents a bushel for corn this calendar year, are eating through those profits.
Together, these have increased feed cost by an estimated $6 per live hundredweight. And each of those, corn and soybean meal, have contributed roughly $3 to the higher cost. Pork producers are also aware that the 2012 U.S. crops do have a high production potential, but they also realize that an unfavorable growing season would threaten that potential and cause feed prices to rise even more.
Still at the moment, Chris Hertz says the cash price of hogs should be set now to make an annual spring rally over the next 6 weeks.
Over the past 5 years, as an example, live hog prices have rallied an average of $11 per hundredweight from early April into mid-May. A similar increase this year is expected and should take hog prices, which are currently in the low 60s, back up to the low 70s over coming weeks.
Those prices should drop to the upper $60 level in the second and third quarters of the calendar year, and then post a seasonal bottom near $60 in the last quarter of the year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
It's coming up on 6:29 on this Monday morning from WSMI FM 106. Antibiotic use in food animal production has been a hot topic lately, with FDA regulations being made based on estimates of quantities of antibiotics used in livestock. Throughout the years, there have been claims that farmers overuse antibiotics in their animals, also claiming that overuse led to health problems in people. Dr. Mike Apley, Kansas State University professor of veterinary medicine, recently led a study using data from the United States Department of Agriculture and a survey of swine veterinarians.
What we found was that we could identify uses for growth promotion, for prevention or control of disease, and for treatment, as reported by the producers. That we had a series of drugs that were not considered by the FDA as important in human therapy, and we had a group that are considered as important. Of all groups, the most commonly used one was chlorotetracycline. The second most commonly used one was Tylosin, and the third most commonly used drug was oxytetracycline. The tetracyclines together made up the most commonly used group, with individual members ranked first and third in the estimate.
Dr. Apley says the main purpose of the study was to get an actual estimate that reflects true use of antibiotics, and the group did that by not just estimating doses, but surveying veterinarians on which doses might be used. Dr. Apley says this gives a good baseline use estimate for specific antibiotics, for specific classes of pigs, for specific purposes.
One of the big points we make in the paper is that just saying gross tons used and we need to reduce those gross tons is not a beneficial way to approach it, because it takes out relative importance or low importance of different groups.
This is important for the ag industry, Dr. Apley says, because by estimating a way to estimate true use of antibiotics in swine will help other livestock producers do the same in the future.
We also emphasize that just because a drug is ranked as being important for use in human medicine does not mean that that indicates there is more of a chance that our use in animal agriculture will cause a problem in human medicine. Those are totally separate.
Dr. Apley says the study may serve as an example of how to get more accurate numbers in the debates that go on regarding antibiotic regulation, but he doesn't think the study alone will change FDA's current regulatory path.
I think we may see some of the regulatory agencies look at this as a model for estimating use at one time point and whether changes have resulted in a difference in use. But at the same time, we're also very careful to say that just looking for differences in uses of antibiotics is not the way out. It's looking at monitoring resistance, trying to actually evaluate if there are any effects through risk assessment, etc.
Dr. Apley says the goal of managing antibiotic use in animal agriculture is much more complicated than just trying to drive gross use estimate figures one way or the other. On the AM Live program later this morning, our guest will be Joyce Fickrey of the St. Louis Dairy Council. We'll discuss using dairy to provide proper nutrition for summer outdoor activities. The AM Live program will be heard this morning at 9:05 on WSMI AM 1540. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets, beginning with the opening at 9:32 this morning on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. The Farm Show this morning brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank.